Genesis chapter 27, if you want to turn there with me, I'll be reading it. Everybody wants a blessing, don't you? Everybody wants to be told you're good. It's good. So much so that we kind of scramble around a lot of time trying to get one for ourselves. There's a lot of stuff out there in the, well, you know what I'm talking about, your Facebook page. Those are those likes. You'll bless me, or your Instagram or whatever kind of a gram you use. We're looking for that. The problem is we can't, as hard as we try to get a blessing, we can't give ourselves a blessing. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. You don't, probably because we know ourselves. We know we don't tell each other. We know we don't tell ourselves the truth. And so when we tell ourselves stuff, we don't really believe it. Somebody else has got to tell us. And so that's what we're looking for. Today's passage, as we walk through the life of Jacob here over these few weeks, is about a family that's scrambling for blessing. Match made in heaven, Isaac and Rebecca. It looked like things would go really well. They got the twin boys. Looks like things are going to go just right. And enter then this drive to control the blessing, get the blessing, and, a downhill from there. So I'm sorry to have to tell you this is a downhill passage most of the time. We'll come back up, okay, I promise, when we get to the end. Let's ask God to speak to us. Father, we've been there. We've been... Maybe some of us are there now, downhill, longing for the blessing that we just can't conjure up. And we do all kinds of things. We ask you now, we ask you to bless the reading and the preaching of your word to us. And in that, you'd get great glory. That's what we ask. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a long passage, and so what I'm going to do is I do just rarely but occasionally, I'm going to break it up and read it as we go, okay? I think it will serve us well to do that. Generally, what we're going to be finding is we're going to find the parents of deception, and then we're going to see the sons of deception, and then the results of deception, okay? That's kind of where we're going. Genesis chapter 27, this first bunch of verses, I'm going to read down through verse 13. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord, before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him, and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me." Rebecca and Isaac had waited long, prayed hard for a son. God gave them the twins. And then God strangely revealed that the younger was going to be the dominant one. He was the one who was going to rule and get the blessing of Abraham. Game on, I guess you could say. And so, sure enough, they didn't know quite what it meant maybe at the time, but when the twins were born, we know the story. Jacob was already tugging on his brother's foot, not affectionately, but competitively. And from the get-go, Father Isaac preferred the wild and woolly, rough and ready Esau. Rebecca, there was a son who stayed closer to home. We don't know which, because she loved him, he stayed, or because he stayed, she loved him. Anyway, that was the way that set up. And it set the stage for lots of problems. The favoritism in the family, the obvious preference of one parent for one and one for the other, set up this scenario for deceit. And note it well, the deceit begins with the father. The first deceit, the first attempt to pull one over on everybody was Isaac's. When he seems to think he's near death. It turns out he lived for decades after this. But at the time, it seemed that he was near death. Age had taken a toll on most of his faculties. But two things remained intact. His will, or put it negatively, his willfulness. He was going to get what he wanted. By the way, just note, age doesn't sanctify. It changes the temptations. But there are temptations of us as we get older that are different, that express themselves differently. But just getting older doesn't do the trick. What's the term we've run across it? Fear of missing out, FOMO. The young have a fear of missing out. The old have a fear of losing control. Folk, how about that? You can use that. Old folk. You know, old fear of losing control. And that's what's going on. Oh, the other facet of Isaac's character that hadn't changed, he still had an appetite. They would say, well, he's eating well. You know, he still was, you might even say, as a lot of the writers do on the subject, he was still wagged around by his sense, by those senses, even though others were fading. So what he does, there he is, willful, resistant. He had to know, by the way. Rebecca had undoubtedly told him and reminded him for all these years that Jacob was to get the blessing. So it wasn't like he didn't know. It was that he wasn't bending to that. He wasn't going there. And so he's the one who first schemes. He says to Esau, we can do this, son. We can do this. And he does the plot. That's not the way it's done. The family blessing, that handing on of the mantle of firstborn, was a somewhat public occasion. You see it other places in Scripture. At least it was public insofar as the whole household was concerned. So all the family would gather, and the household servants, everybody that would have been part of the household, and probably the neighbors, everybody came to this, and it was done so that everybody knew that this was, that the mantle was being passed, the blessing was being given. And so the very idea that Isaac was going to kind of come here, we get the stuff, come to my tent. That was the first of the deception. Of course, not only did Isaac know that there had been a promise given about Jacob and to Jacob. He also knew that if he called, just humanly speaking, if he called the family together, the household together, the neighbors together, you know, if all those folks gathered around, the Esau option was not going to fly. Esau had already, I mean, he had despised the birthright. We've heard that story. At every point, he had made it really clear that this idea of the Lord of the covenant as one whom he would follow and honor, that meant nothing to him. Even recently, we skipped a passage just because we wanted to move on. But just recently, he's married two non-believing women. Not one, but two Hittites, women. And that wasn't an ethnic issue. It wasn't just a racial ethnic. The point of the marrying the Canaanites is that these were pagans. These were those who didn't worship the Lord God. So Esau was really not an option in any manner or form, but Isaac is determined. And so he makes this deathbed demand of Esau, sends him out on the mission. There's a father of deception. There's also a mother of deception. This is a first-time quote for me, but I'm going to quote a pope. I was told just recently that Pope Francis had said that the words mother and bomb should never be used in the same sentence. If you know that reference to the mother of all bombs that we dropped somewhere. And Pope Francis said you should never use mother and bomb in the same sentence. Well, this is the mother of all deceptions. And make no apology, it's in the scriptures that Rebekah of all people gives birth after the manner of her husband, no doubt, gives birth. Well, the walls of tents are very thin for you campers out there. You know that nothing happens from, you know, there's no sound barrier. And so, I don't know, was Rebecca eavesdropping? You don't have to eavesdrop much when an elderly man whispers a secret. You know, there's some noise in that there tent. And so she hears it, and she begins to, well, she's got her own plan. Rebecca is perfectly happy with the Lord's choice. The Lord has chosen Jacob. Turns out that's the one she likes. And so she's happy with the choice, but don't make the mistake of thinking that her contentment with the Lord's gracious, unfathomable, unexplainable choice of Jacob, don't confuse that with her, that is, she likes the Lord's choice. Doesn't mean that she trusts the Lord. We don't get in your own personal reckoning about your own heart life. Don't confuse the idea that you like a little law, you know, you like some of what God has said, doesn't necessarily mean you trust Him. We often find something that we like about what God has said and then use it on people, don't we? I worked for a company one time that loved "Thou shalt not steal." That was a go. They had that one posted on the wall of part of the store that you couldn't see from where the management stood. "Thou shalt not steal." But we sold merchandise that was morally corrupting. So they loved the eighth commandment, not the, you know, the, I don't know, the seventh, not so much. So be careful to distinguish in your own heart. Is it just you love a little law? It helps you control people, some of it. But do you love the Lord of the law? Rebecca didn't, at this point, have much use for the Lord of the law. If she had, she wouldn't have had to break the law in order to get the Lord's will done, would she? It was absurd, really. It's one of the most absurd pictures in the scriptures, one who thinks God's made promises, He's going to get His promises done. What a marriage. Can you think of anything more pitiful? There lies her husband, perhaps on his deathbed. It looked, he felt like it was, and And it gave every appearance to being his deathbed. We don't think is a deception on the part of Isaac. He wasn't faking his demise. And there he lies, can't see, can't do a lot of things. And there she is gonna sneak around on him. Jacob hesitates. We look at the passage. You know, Jacob says, I don't know about this, Mom. But his hesitation wasn't ethical. It wasn't like, I don't think this is right. I don't think it's right to do this to Dad or to brother. It wasn't that. He said, I don't know if this is going to work. I think I'm going to get caught and cursed. And she said, these are haunting words. Let the curse fall on me. Then she says, you notice this language here? She says, just do what I say, okay? You heard what I commanded. Just do what I say, boy. One son has become her foe. One son has become her palm. Write down on a piece of paper right quick. We're going to take these up, and I'm going to, during the Lord's Supper, we'll take them up. No, I'm not going to do that. How old were these guys? How old were Esau and Jacob, these boys? They're 40 years old. If you look at the last verse of the last chapter, that's how old Esau was when he married the two pagan women. These are not kids. There's something wrong here in the way this family operates, that mother dear is still ever protective, ever manipulative. I'll take the curse. Just do what I say. That's the parents of deception. Let me read now, beginning in verse 14. And so, now the sons, if you will, this is the second section, the sons of deception. And so he went and took them and brought them. This is Jacob. So he went and took them, that is the lambs, the food prep, and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Now, this is a 40-year-old man. She's going in his closet and getting his stuff out. She knows where it is. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Joseph. So he went to his father. To us, we're like, how does that happen? How does that work? Have you got anything you can put on you that makes you feel... One of the commentators said, I listened to somebody's sermon, and he said, Jacob hoped nobody saw him. You know, Isaac may have been blind, but nobody else was. You can kind of see him tiptoeing. You ever gone out in the backyard to do something, and sometimes I have to go out in the backyard to do something after church, and I don't take off my big, long black socks. I put on those shorts that I only wear in the house, and maybe I've got a T-shirt on, and I'm just kind of hoping I can go out there and turn that hose on or whatever it is I've got to do, and nobody sees me. I'm kind of furtively kind of, you can imagine that Jacob was home, but nobody saw him with stuff all over and, carrying the tray. Picking up now at verse 18. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Blessed him there probably just means he welcomed him on in. That, that's not the blessing, but that's like, and he said, okay. And he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. That was the ceremony. That was always the way it was done. You had the meal, then you gave the blessing. You can get this picture. Jacob's kind of trying to hustle him through this thing, and he says, okay, here it is. Eat it, drink it, bless me. Let's get on with it. Isaac said, now who did you say you are? You get the impression that Isaac, he's not quite there, is he? I mean, he's... You can imagine this in your own household. You kind of like, do you get to ask? You kind of get the impression Isaac's, And Jacob, well, I'm Esau, did what you said, sit up, eat, bless me, let's get on with it. Time's a wasting. And Isaac, well, that's awful quick. And then the blasphemy, to lies, he adds blasphemy. Listen, once you start down the path of sin, you know, somebody may say, hey, have you broken, which one of the Ten Commandments you broke? You think, well, I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't stolen anything today. You think you're kind of doing all right. Listen, once you start down, he goes straight from one to using the Lord's name in vain, if anybody ever did. The Lord your God gave me success. Yep, God did it. He said it still just doesn't sound like Esau. So he gives him one more test, gives him what we call it the smell test. Yeah, he gives him the smell test. That's what this kiss thing is about. He said, come over here and let's get real up close and personal. And he does. The aroma did the trick. Aroma does that, by the way, a little science lesson. If you really, the perfume makers know this, and the steakhouses know this. The what gets you is the aroma. The olfactory goes straight to the emotion centers of the brain, the amygdala and the hippocampus. Write that down. It'll be a test later. It doesn't have to go through the rest of the process. All the other senses go a roundabout way before they get to the emotion centers. But the smell goes straight there. And you know that experience. You know what smells that, you know, for you, bad memories and aversions, and what smells make you want to kiss her again. One more test. See, the smell of my son, he says, is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Then he gives him the blessing. May God give you the dew of the heaven, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of grain. Let the people serve you, the nations bow down. Be Lord over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. He gives him, we're not going to spend a lot of time, he gives him economic power. He gives him geopolitical power. And then he gives him the whole blessing of Abraham. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. And it's absolute. So Esau returns. Verse 30. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of his father Esau, his brother came in from the hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father rise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he answered, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. And then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said, Esau, behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I've given to him for servants, and his brothers I have given to him as servants with grain and wine. I've sustained him. then what can I do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, oh, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. They almost ran into each other. It's really a mirror image. You get the picture. Jacob had obeyed his mother and comes back to her. Esau had obeyed his father and comes back to him. Even had the same question and answer. Who are you? Ask them both that. They both gave the same answer. And the tent just explodes. It's like somebody, you know, rolled an explosive device in the tent. The tent just explodes. Now, here's the result. So you've got the parents, you've got the sons of deception. And now here's what happens. Why didn't Isaac just say, oh, that was a trick? Well, that didn't count. That didn't count. Just do over. So never mind, not to worry. Now I see what happened. When you read it, do you not wonder that? It seems like everybody ought to read that and from where we sit and go, what? Why not? And some people explain it by these cultural norms others convinced me as well. I think Isaac already knew. He was beginning along the way to be convicted of his sin. He was beginning with these, who are you? That voice isn't just right. He was beginning, and then, see, he had been trying now for 40 years to overpower the Word of God. For 40 years, that's a long time. Some of you may be there right now. Still, there's some Word of God that you know, that His Word applied to you by His Spirit, that you know you're supposed to be doing something. And maybe you kind of get a little bit more today, a little bit more tomorrow. Somebody else comes to you and gives you some idea that maybe you're not right where God wants you to be in a certain area. That was happening, it seems, to Esau. But what happens when he trembles? And a number of the students of the passage say, this is a conversion experience. This is a repentance. He trembles because he finally, I give up. I've been fighting this for 40 years. I've been fighting this fight for 40 years. Lord, you win. He trembles and he surrenders. That must be what, by the way, if you want to check that out, you don't have to believe a bunch of scholars and stuff. You can believe the writer of Hebrews. And Hebrews 11:20 refers to Isaac. It says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith. Nothing else we've seen in this passage seems to have done by faith. But the writer of Hebrews, by the Spirit of God, sees here, by the Spirit of God, that this blessing was given by faith. So it had to have been a repentance. So if you're holding off on something, go ahead and do it, okay? Just go ahead. Don't wait 40 years. Because there are consequences. There remain consequences. The repentance was real. But look what happens. Verse 41, now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching, then I'll kill my brother Jacob. That just day of the funeral. Just wait till the funeral. I'll get him. Verse 42, but the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you, planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Still at it, by the way. Obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, and Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. What you have done to him. No. Then I will send and bring you from there. She's still in charge. I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of both of you in one day? That is, why should I lose your father and you the same day? Everybody loses, just noted, everybody loses. Rebecca, who wanted to control and keep her son, who liked the tents, who liked to stay, she wanted to keep the smooth one home. She never, by the way, in this life, she never sees him again. The little while didn't turn out to be a little while. The scriptures give no evidence that she ever sees this son again. She's already cut off from Esau. You can imagine that what that was like for the rest of their lives. Isaac gets up from his supposed deathbed, but is then the head of a divided family for the rest of his life. Esau gets the reality of this blessing, and that's kind of an ironic term to speak of Esau's blessing. It's an anti-blessing. You notice that basically he just hears from his own point of view the blessing that was given to Jacob. So Jacob gets the blessing and he gets the curse. And Jacob, remember, who had been promised by God that he's going to get grain and wine, he's going to flourish economically, he's going to have nations coming to him, he's going to curse be anybody that curses, he's going to get the whole thing, but he leaves home with nothing. He ends up being picked, you know, being the most destitute of refugees. You know, he's like somebody who's come here from Honduras because the gangs are after him. Okay, somebody who escapes the gangs in Honduras and gets up, you know, he's escaping the gang that is his brother to get away. He gets nothing. I told you we were going down, down, down. And we're like these, by the way. These aren't somebody else. To choose your favorite character, mama, daddy, older brother, younger brother, there's sisters, it doesn't matter. We're corrupt, and there are consequences to what we're like, our willfulness. There's another brother. There's another brother who came along and put on somebody else's stuff. There's another brother who came along and put on yours and mine. There's another brother, Brother Jesus, who came and he cheated the curse, you see. He came. Jacob would steal it. Esau was thinking he could steal it, and Father Jacob, Isaac, they could steal it from God. Everybody's trying to steal it. Well, you've got an elder brother who has stolen your curse and given you his blessing. Everybody wants a blessing. And you go into this elder brother of yours, and you get every blessing promised to him. Here's the blessing he got. You remember? This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. You go to him, come here and eat this feast and have his blessing. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to, with no deceit would we come to this table. We would come in you, Lord Jesus. And so we ask you now, at this simple table, to feed us on the magnificent blessings of Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. If the elders will meet me down here, we'll serve the people of God.